Good morning, Bishop Ed Akers here, my 9:45 live on this Sunday morning. A good devotion at the beginning of the week to give you a jump start and to give you an uplift for the week to come. I believe God has great plans for you this week. And I want to come this morning and bring some encouragement to you and some a word from God to kind of for you to dwell on this week. You know, sometimes it's hard to hear the voice of the Lord. Many people have asked me through the many years, and I've asked myself, how do I know when I pray that I'm hearing God? How do I know that I'm getting an answer? Sometimes we don't hear anything or don't sense that we hear anything. And it can be very frustrating. It can cause people to be discouraged in praying. But prayer and seeking God, inquiring of Him, and waiting for His answer is a key to success in life, to a fulfilled life in Christ Jesus, and just in life in general. We face many struggles, many problems in our life, don't we? And sometimes we're uncertain if we pray that God is listening. Well, the Bible says that He is not deaf, that He does not hear us, nor is His arm shortened, that He does not reach out to help us. As we know from the prophet of old, that he went to listen to the voice of the Lord, didn't hear Him in the whirlwind or the thunder or the fire. He heard Him in a still, small voice. I believe that God is speaking to all of those who will seek Him, inquire of Him. But sometimes we do more talking than we do listening when we pray. Sometimes we don't really wait around long enough in our prayer times to hear God's answer. There's a great story in 1 Samuel chapter 30 about David and his army, the mighty men of David. They had just conquered many enemies. They had been contracted by another leader. They had also went through the land, conquered the Philistines. And some 600 men made their way back home. In this particular time, David had hidden his family and the families of his military men in a place called Ziklag. And Ziklag is known as an area that you had to zig and zag to get back into, through some crevices and rocks in a mountainous region. As the army, weary from battle, makes its way home in 1 Samuel chapter 30, as they make their way through the crevices to get back to their encampment, they realize that there is smoke rising, there's the smell of fire, and they know something's not right. Upon coming to the opening where the encampment was, where the village was of his people, the Bible tells us that every man, every woman, every child, and all the produce, and all the cattle, and everything David and the mighty men had been taken off by an army, an enemy. And this enemy had, the Bible says, specifically not killed anyone. Now, this is very significant. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But as David and his men come to this problem, this is a massive problem in their life. None of us, most of us, have never experienced the kidnapping of our families and perhaps the squandering of everything that we own. But we have lost many things in our life. We face trouble from a bad diagnosis physically to children that may be lost in sin or in addiction, prodigal children have strayed away or just struggling in a bad marriage, something that we have maybe faced. There's always a problem. They say there's three kinds of people in every room when you gather together: those who are going into a problem, those who are in a problem, and those who are coming out of a problem. Life is full of problems and struggles, and David finds himself in a life-altering struggle. This is one of those massive events of life. And so the men and David all grieve the loss that they see in front of them. So much so, they run out of energy to even cry anymore. Have you ever been so upset with problems in your life and so tired and weary from struggling and fighting and struggles that you're just too tired to cry anymore, too tired to grieve, too tired to really face it? You just want it to go away. But things in life don't just fade away. We have to face them. We have to confront them. Even the men who David led, who admired him, spoke of stoning him. They turned on their leader because as they were out serving and he was leading them, they assumed their families would be safe. And coming back home, they found out they're not safe after all. How many times has life not worked out the way we wanted it to? And when it doesn't work out the way we want to find blame somewhere. But where's David going to place his blame? He can't blame the other men because they weren't the leaders he was. He can't blame his family because they were following his lead and living where he had tried to protect them. He can blame the enemy, but what good is that going to do at this point? Maybe he could blame God. But something interesting happens in this story. We never see David blame God. Let me read just a part of it. After the men speak of stoning him in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord. We're not really told how he did this, but I imagine that he began to just praise God for past victories. Recall the time that he killed the lion, the adder, and the bear, and other things that he had done to see the victory of God time and time again in his life. This is how we can strengthen ourselves in the Lord, is praise God for what he has already provided for us, what he's already given to us. This is a powerful way to strengthen our spirit, magnifying the Lord in our mind, remembering what he had done for us. David lost his family. David has lost his home. David has lost his security, his status, the respect of his men. He's lost his friends. Every natural crutch that David has to lean on to find strength is taken away. The only place he can go is to God. There are those times, folks, that God will put us in a position or allow us to be put in one where all of our natural means of support has fallen away. And in that moment, we have to encourage ourselves or strengthen ourselves, as another version says, in the Lord. In other words, he is the one we should be leaning on anyway. When your friends are gone, when your family's gone, when people betray you, when they turn their backs on you, you can find strength in God. That is the point of God himself. He is our strength, a very present help, the Bible says, in a time of trouble. And David finds himself strengthening himself in the Lord despite losing everything, despite the lack of natural things he can see to hold on to, and God is the only one he can turn to. So he doesn't just approach God any old way. He doesn't come to God and say, why? We never see anywhere where he says, why did you let this happen? Why am I going through this? Why have my family been taken when I was serving you? Why have the men and women who trusted me now turned on me? I've done what you want me to do. Why? This is how most people pray. Why, God, did I lose this loved one? Why am I going through this struggle? Why am I going bankrupt? Why, when I've served you, has this diagnosis been put on my body? Why? David never asks God why. At least we're not told that he does. And so I have to believe the Bible here. But he does go to God. But he goes properly. He goes as God is God, and not just someone to accuse or to talk to like another buddy in the army that he had, or an assistant or whatever. He asked for the linen ephod, which is the priestly garment. He comes before the Lord in a worshipful, reverential, respectful way. This ephod, in putting this on, was preparing himself to come and speak to God. If we would come to God with fear and reverence, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and hallow him and fear him, even when we don't understand, especially when we don't understand, we would get answers from God. And I preached this just about a week or so ago on Mindanao in the Philippines. And many people were ministered to by this concept that I'm about to show you. So David goes before the Lord in verse 7. David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them. That's the two answers to David's two questions. Shall I pursue them? Well, should I chase after this army that's taken my family? The Lord says, yes, go. Will I overtake them when I pursue them? And the Lord says, yes, you will surely conquer them. You will overtake them. Now, there's an assumption I want you to understand that is not in the text, but we can assume David and his men already had this assumption in their heart. Usually, when conquering armies took the men and the women and the children from an enemy, they would, number one, they would rape the women, and they would usually kill firstborn sons, and then they would just move the children into slavery of some sort, or human trafficking, what we'd call human trafficking today. They have to have an assumption that everything that they have ever lived for is destroyed. And so when he goes to the Lord, he doesn't ask the Lord about getting any of these people back, about getting anything back. He just simply asks the Lord, shall I pursue, shall I overtake? And the Lord answers his two questions with three answers. There is a God answer in every question we ask God. We think we know what the answer should be. We're asking God, should I buy this home, or should I marry this person, or should I take this job or leave this job? Should I take this action or leave this action? And we've got an expectation of what that answer is going to be. Like David, shall I pursue? Yes. Shall I overtake? Yes, you will. And David doesn't get a chance to even walk away before God gives him a third answer to a question he didn't ask, but God knew was on his heart. See, I believe God knew this was in David's heart. And at the core of his questions was whether or not he would get back his children and his wives or anything at all. And David is answered by God with this. Yes, pursue. Yes, you will overtake. And you will not fail to recover all that you've lost. Recover all that you've lost. Wow. Well, we know from the rest of the story that David pursues. God gives him a lead, somebody who directs them right to the enemy. And when they approach the enemy's camp, they see that there's not one wife has been molested, not one child has been murdered, not one cattle, not one apple has been eaten. Everything that they had stolen from them was still intact. They pursued the enemy, overtook the enemy, and they recovered all. Everything. David's wife, his children, his wives at that point, his children, all the other men, or at least 400 of the six. There's a whole other message in that. 200 were too weak. The 400 other men said, let them fend for themselves. But David brings the spoil and brings theirs back to them. There's a whole other lesson there. But the key I want you to get today is that God answers prayers beyond our expectations. And when we ask two questions, God often has a third answer. And that God answer is the one you're looking for. If you'll wait on him, if you'll trust him, that's what waiting on the Lord is. It's trusting him. It's not questioning, why did you let this happen to me? Why is this, am I going through this? This why question, it's not wrong to ask God why I may have done something. Show me what I've done. Show me how I should be. Show me what I should do next. But the why that impugns God's character. The basic, how dare you let this happen to me? That's the inflection on that question. That is the implication that God is somehow being cruel to me because I'm going through a hardship. But even in my hardships, God wants to get glory out of my life. As a Christian, I should want him to get glory out of everything I walk through. And so David pursues, receives it all back, and the Bible says all the spoil of the enemy, all the cattle they had extra, things above and beyond what they had stolen from David and the men, the Bible says God gave it to David, not to the men, but to David. Why? David was the only one that inquired of God, that didn't question God in an accusatory tone. And so God blessed him. And what's David do with it? He takes it and shares it with everyone, especially the 200 weak who waited by the brook. I'm here to tell you today, God has more answers than you have questions. And he knows what's in your heart, and he wants to answer that question that's deep down that you're afraid to ask. God wants to restore everything to you the devil has stolen. But you've got to learn like I do. I must inquire of the Lord, not accuse the Lord. I must wait on the God answer in the answer that he gives me. It may not look like I want it to look. It may not sound like I want it to sound. The answer may come from an unlikely source and maybe an unlikely directive. but nevertheless, it will be a God answer. One way to know God answers in your life, what it sounds like, what His answer will sound like, is to know His Word. I'm a stickler for this. I'm constantly repeating this. God sounds like His Word, the Bible. When He speaks to us, those are His words. Much of how He answers you and me will sound exactly like the words in the Bible. If you know the Bible, you'll know the language of God. You'll know the voice of God because He's imprinted His voice on Scripture. He's put it on print. And when you say it, when you read it, and when you learn it, then when He speaks in that language of the Word. I want to encourage you today, God has an answer for your questions. He's got an extra answer than even the questions that you have asked, and it's going to be the God answer. Well, I pray this has been a blessing to you this week. I pray that God blesses you in a mighty way. If you'd like to come and support Victorious Living International's global initiatives, including Family Freedom, V-Kids sponsorship, crusades, church enablement, ministry, mentorship programs, things we are doing in the Philippines, Pakistan, Romania, Africa, and other places around the world, and stuff, and even things that we're doing here at home, go to victoriouslivinginternational.com, go to the contact and donate page. Down at the bottom of the first page, on as you learn more about us on the homepage, there is a donate button or a partnership button. We're looking for partners and sponsors, those who would join us on a monthly basis in supporting a work that is reaching globally. Just recently, over a week ago now, got home a week ago Friday, we saw in excess of 5,000 to 6,000 salvations, multiple healings, churches planted, the kingdom established throughout the island of Mindanao in 4 different cities across a span of a 10 or 12 hour drive frame across the northern part of that island. We hit 4 major cities, and God is already stirring for new things to come in that area. And we've been invited back to several cities and believe in God to use us. But we need sponsors and supporters like you. Sponsors, partners, people who pray for us, who will donate on a monthly basis. I'd love to have you partner with us. VictoriousLiveInternational.com. If you want to know more about the church, Victorious Living Church here in Grove City, Ohio, our primary campus and home base, go to vlcc.tv. Join us at Victorious Living Church today on Facebook Live at 10:45 for a live worship experience. We'll have baptisms today, a word from God, wonderful worship, and a great family atmosphere. If you're in the Columbus area, the Grove City area, come see us. We'd love to have you with us today. Well, God bless you. Remember these words from 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. Have a great week. And I'll talk to you next week.